All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Patron Spotlight for Saints Happy Hour podcast. The Patron Spotlight is when you donate $5 a month, you get in the raffle to have your own mini podcast slash conversation with me. And this month's winner is Andrew West. He is a $5 a month patron. And Andrew, thanks for joining us. I appreciate the support for the podcast, and I feel like with these lately I've been people's therapist, but that's okay. How are you dealing with the Saints offseason and the robbery that was the NFC Championship game?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Ralph. I love you guys, so I'm really excited to, you know, have this conversation. But yeah, I mean, the NFC title game, obviously it fucking sucked, right? Like, we got robbed. But I'm more mad at the team about how that all went down. And here's my breakdown on that. I think all that crowd noise that was going on in the dome early, you know, we were scoring points.
Yeah.
I feel like we blew that opportunity, right? Like, it shouldn't have been that close at the end. So that's one thing. But then secondly, that interception in overtime, dude, not only did Breeze not have to throw that, but Michael Thomas, you know, you're trying to get a flag and they haven't flagged anybody the whole game. Meanwhile, the defender's looking at the ball and catching it, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean,
my thing with the NFC Championship, besides the fact that the call truly and royally did fuck them, is, you know, knowing what we know now about Unger retiring and the offensive line was totally compromised. And to me, the the offensive line being compromised and having no tight ends, like, for the Saints to even get to the point where they had to be fucked out of it is sort of remarkable. But to your point, man, you know, early in that game, if Arnold catches the pass or they just cash in and it's 17-0, I feel like that would have been the tipping point where the Rams would have started to panic, and then you'd have got the Goff that you got in the Super Bowl, and it just would have been a death spiral slash party, which I thought it was going to be. I thought the Saints were just going to – I thought Goff was going to fold, and it was going to be a fucking party nonstop. I said so in my column, but it wasn't.
Yep.
But as far as your fandom, how has your Saints fandom grown over time, and have you been a Saints fan your whole life, or have you sort of switched and this is your team now?
Yeah, so I mean, despite the fact that I am somewhat angry with the team for losing composure, I'm still like a huge Saints fan, man. I grew up in a small town in Georgia, but my dad, luckily, I grew up in West Monroe, Louisiana. So he raised us right. He raised us as Saints fans, even during the dark days, you know, the paper bag over the head. You know, dad was a preacher, mom was a teacher. So they didn't get much of an opportunity to get us over to New Orleans for a lot of games. So, you know, with sort of the proliferation of social media and fantasy football, it's been a lot easier to be a Saints fan, you know, in the last decade or, you know, 10 to 15 years because of all that. And I would say when I started playing fantasy football is when my, like, NFL fandom really took off. So that was around 06, around the time the Breeze era was starting. So I've always been a Saints fan, but I was never super into them until 06, you know, the start of the Breeze Peyton era.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing with social media, you know. Social media, you know, it can do bad things and horrible things with politics or crazy people they find each other, right? Like, the crazy people all over the world, they can find each other, and then they don't think that they're this weird minority and they do horrible things. And that's horrible, obviously. But the internet also does amazing things where, like, you can connect to Saints fans all over the place. We've got fans of the podcast in England. I'm going to do a Patreon spotlight with a couple of people that are from out of the country. That is going to be amazing. So it brings us together. And, you know, it used to be you had to read the paper, you listened to the radio, and that was it. Now it's like, if you're bored and it's the middle of the night, if you can go on Twitter and do the hashtag Saints or Who Dat Nation, or with me, I have 4,000 followers or almost 10,000 followers from the podcast account. I can just be like, hey, I want to talk about Saints. Let's talk about this. And I could talk for an hour. I can ask, say, fire me your Saints questions, whatever. And it's this big community, and it makes us closer. And that was the great thing about the Saints. I don't know necessarily that the Saints are a national team. I'm not so sure of that. But I definitely feel like at least we have our community, whereas some teams in the NFL, you look at them like the Rams or like the Chargers, and their fan communities are just weird and they don't really have any. So it's unique, and it's been really fun with the podcast, especially I would say like the last like 3 years, 4 years, as Twitter has exploded, the podcast has just become much more fun, and you can engage at a level as a Saints fan. You can go as deep as you want now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like, you know, I grew up in Georgia, so everybody I know is a football fan, right? So I can talk football all day, but to get the chance to like hear you guys do the pod and like talk about roster depth and, you know, building up the O-line and all that shit that none of my non-Saints fans friends care about. You know, that's to me kind of the beauty of how connected we are. And that's why I love you guys' show.
I mean,
it's like, even though I can't talk back to you, it's still nice to have Saints
fans.
Well,
once we get the live stream up and run, you know, I don't know exactly when this spotlight will run, but hopefully we'll have the live stream fixed. We did the live stream last night, and it was a giant clusterfuck. We ran a GIF of the Hindenburg just burning to the ground. I won't go into the technical issues, but it was a clusterfuck on my end, but I think I got it fixed. Hopefully that'll be up and running, and people can have even more fun. But, it's amazing to me that we did a podcast, and not even 12 hours later, we have 1,000 people that have listened to the show. And the show is about the Saints signing a fucking center and the beat writer for the Saints leaving. And 1,000 people are like, yes, I want to listen to that. Which, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot. But to me, like, it's just gigantic that we have that we can talk about these Saints micro topics, sort of, and like people will devour it, even though, you know, as we record this, it's the middle of March and it's not draft and it's not a big free agency signing. It's a center and a beat writer, and people want to hear it and listen about it.
Yep, that's pretty cool. And I would say outside of the Saints community, you may not find that level of interest, you know, but like just seeing the way everybody reacted to Nick leaving is like, man, what a real community this really is, you know, which I'm sad about that too, but hopefully he'll be on ESPN soon. We'll all get to see him there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see where he goes. I don't exactly know where he goes, but he was too good for this place. You know, and the thing is now, fans are really, like, we're, like, for us, look, we are the perfect. We, you know, our catch slogan is the perfect blend of Saints stupidity and sincerity, right? So like we goof off, but the thing is, beat writers, and I see this on Twitter, man. If you do not know your basic stuff of like salary cap and years and how the Saints run offense, like they will crush you on Twitter. You better know your stuff with the Saints backwards and forwards. And I don't pretend to know about scheme and three deep passing and 4-3 and over under technique. I don't pretend to know all that. That's Andrew's stuff. But I can tell you what, people know when they talk to me, I know my fucking Saints history. I know basically how the salary cap works. I know the roster. I know what the Saints philosophies are in general. And you have to have a basic understanding or people will fucking roast you on Twitter.
I guess I don't see a lot of the negativity, you know, that comes up in you guys' mentions, but I'm sure it's fucking there, dude. You know, like,
well, it wasn't
it's
that
so
much
easy.
Yeah, it wasn't that, but it's hard to be negative when they're 13-3 and one of the losses was basically a forfeit. You know, I mean, it was pretty brutal. It was pretty brutal in 14, 15, and 16. I mean, because you have
Yeah, I
7 and
bet.
9, and why are they 7 and 9, and what the fuck's the problem? And maybe we need to move on from Drew Brees, and maybe we need to move on from Sean Payton, and why is the bottom of the roster filled with UDFAs? You know, I would fight with beat writers, and you know, that was like one of the only fights that I had with Nick. Is, you know, the beat writers are like, oh my God, the Saints have found all these UDFAs, isn't this great? And I was like, no, when the bottom of your roster has 4, 6, 8 UDFAs, that means the bottom of your
Yeah,
roster
too much.
it is trash. And it all these UDFAs the Saints have found, it isn't because the Saints are smarter than the other 31 NFL franchises that passed on these dudes 7 times and didn't sign them as UDFAs. It's because the Saints, the bottom of the
Right.
Saints roster is fucking trash, and they just need bodies to fill, and they're desperate, and they're groping in the dark for anything, and that's why 4, 6, 8 UDFAs make the roster. Like in, I think it was 2015, where the UDFAs, or 20, yeah, 2015 or 2016, where 6 made the roster. And Nick is like, well, they're possibly diamonds in the rough. I'm like, they're not. They're garbage. And like, that doesn't have to do with like scheme or watching film. That's just like common fucking sense, right? But we would have those fights all the time. But when you're 13-3, Andrew, you don't fight. You just make fun of the teams that you beat.
Right, exactly. So last year was definitely a great year, no doubt about that.
So before we get out of here, what are your hopes for the Saints in 2019, and what made you a fan and supporter of the show?
So, I mean, my hopes for the Saints in 2019, I mean, it's fucking Super Bowl or bust right now, dude. Until we get to a point where, we're kind of out of the playoff question, like Breeze is gone and maybe Teddy is not working out there or whatever. Until we're bad, it's Super Bowl, right? So, especially after last year. But I gotta say, man, it feels weird right now with Ingram leaving and Unger leaving. We all saw the triplet article the other day. I'm starting to wonder if the window might have already closed on us. I hope that's not the case, but like intuitively, I feel a sense of dread that it has. But for 2019, I mean, it doesn't change. My hopes are a Super Bowl, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I think the one thing I will say is football is so violent and so hard, you can't just run it back. So the Saints making these changes might not be a bad thing. And I know that's a way to spin it, but like,
Yeah.
the thing is, at the end of the year, like, Unger was, he wasn't good, you know? And
That's true. That's true.
like, I love the guy, and he made the Jimmy Graham trade okay, but at the end of the year, dude, he wasn't good. Like he just, his body like gave out on him, and he was trying to work through it. But look at the NFC Championship game, dude. The interior got destroyed by Donald and Sue. So I mean, they
Yeah,
need
they
to make
definitely
these
did.
ch they know they need to make these changes, so hopefully it'll be okay. And look, as far as where the Saints are as a franchise, I don't think you could be any better positioned as they are for long-term success going forward. The only teams that I see that are better than them potentially for long-term success are Cleveland, because they're so young with Baker Mayfield, Kansas City, because they're so young, with Mahomes. But the Saints, they have Teddy Bridgewater, the succession plan in line, and they have all these young dudes that, yes, they're going to have to pay and they're going to have to make decisions. But if Teddy Bridgewater is a good quarterback and is a top 12 quarterback, the Saints potentially are going to be good till like 2025. And I don't think you can say that about even New England or the Chargers or Pittsburgh or any of these teams that have been good long term, or Green Bay. Like, I think the Saints are in a really
Oh yeah.
are they're in a really great spot. It doesn't mean they'll win championships, because look, the last 2 years you just get shitty luck and you don't win. Like, that's just how it goes. But as far as like
Sure.
sustained success and enjoyable as a fan to watch, like, I think potentially the window for the Saints is not just this year. I think it's wide open. depending. And they've done to me, Andrew, they've done as about as well as you could, I mean, as about as well as you could hope. Like, Teddy Bridgewater might work out. He might be Ryan Tannehill 2.0, and the Saints may be stuck in 7-9 hell. But what else are you going to do at quarterback? Like, there wasn't another
No, you're.
pathway.
Yeah, at quarterback, you're right, man. It's Teddy. What else are you gonna? We're not drafting Kyler Murray. So yeah, and maybe I hope you're right. Hopefully, it's just my irrational fear. You know, it's been a rocky 4 or 5 months, I guess, for fans of
It's been a
Louisiana
rocky
sports.
2 years. We are gonna
Yeah.
be a the Saints make the playoffs again and have a bye or a home game. As a fan base, we are going to be on the fucking ledge in 2019.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if the Saints are 15-1 and are averaging 45 a week. As a fan base, because of 2017, because of 2018, we are going to be on the ledge, panicked and desperate. Like, it
Yep.
doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter if they're 15-1 or 9-7 and get in. Like, that's just the baggage that we carry, and you just gotta we're just gonna have to deal with it as best we can. But that's why we have the podcast. We try to help people like you, Andrew, get through and do the best we can.
Yeah, man, and I didn't get a chance to answer the second half of your question about the show, but I mean, the reason I love you guys is because you seem like you're just kind of genuinely who you are as Saints fans, you know? And I like that, and you've got a good. I mean, this show slogan kind of says it all, man. Like, y'all have a great blend of just like some ridiculous antics, you know? But you can tell that Andrew is like kind of the X's and O's guys, right? And he always has like an earnest response for most serious football questions, but you don't feel like you're reading an article breaking down the X's and O's while you're listening to you guys talk, you know? So, and like I said, being a Saints fan in Atlanta and not having a lot of Saints fans around to talk to, I absolutely love you guys' podcast, and I will always definitely support you guys.
Thank you, guy. And look, if you want to be like Andrew and have a chance to chat with me on your own miniature episode of the Saints Happy Hour, donate $5 a month. $5 a month gets you a
Do it.
chance to this. You get a magnet eventually. You get access to the live stream if we ever get it working. So it's great. So, Andrew, guy, I appreciate it. We appreciate the support. And we'll see you next month for another Saints Happy Hour Patron Spotlight.